Hi everyone, this is Matt. It is early December, and so, of course, I am recording about fall and winter, so I think it counts. This one is called Death is Planting. It's a bit of a personal story, but I hope you enjoy it, and I hope it is valuable for you. Fall is my favorite season. I'm fortunate enough to say that where I live, the season of summer gets immediately disqualified on the blistering heat alone. I live in a lake town, transformed in the summer, and I win no friends at all by complaining about how uncomfortably hot it is for anyone not wearing a tank top and shorts. So, I keep my sweaty grumbles to myself. In fall, though, it's blissfully back to jeans and plaid button-up shirts, cardigans, and even an overcoat on a cooler day. Every single male my age, let's say mid-30s, looks about the same come fall, but we all look good. The days are still bright in fall, but they're also crisp. Less insects buzzing around your ears, less noise overall. Everything seems slightly subdued in the fall. Until the leaves begin to change. Then the noise is visual, not auditory. A vast field of green changing to yellow, gold, amber, orange, pink, and red. Not all at once, but in a chorus. These are the photos we take, the best photographers and the best equipment still failing to capture the jubilation before them. But that is not the fall around me now. Because I'm writing this in late November. Yellow, gold, amber, orange, pink, and red have all gone, and now there is only brown. Snow, rain, and wind have stripped the trees bare, and their once vibrant leaves are now compacted into the muddy ground. The days are much colder now and darker. No snow covers the decay and death around yet. We are in the in-between time, past the magic of autumn and before the magic of winter. Perhaps not surprisingly, I often think of death in the late fall and winter. As beautiful as the falling leaves are, we know that the vibrancy of spring and summer are coming to an end. And we know that the gorgeous color comes from the death of the leaves themselves. As we think about the seasons, we most often consider late spring and summer to be the ones full of vibrancy and life, not so much the darker, colder months of fall and winter. But of course, we don't get to spring and summer without the death and the rest of fall and winter. We know this, of course, and we still act like it's a mystery. When I see that first crocus break through the snow in late winter or early spring, or the first tree buds begin to awake, I'm always amazed. How did this get here, I wonder, ignorantly. I say ignorantly because I don't think of the planting that is obviously happening in the fall. Death is planting. The tree doesn't get to keep its leaves through the winter and still develop new buds in the spring. The seed must be buried in the ground and hidden before the spring flower blooms. In the seasons, in nature, we see that death is part of the deal, that the new comes at a cost, and the cost is the old passing away. There is no change, no new growth without death. How have we convinced ourselves that our life and our growth would be any different? Now, sometimes when something new has begun, it is because something else has ended and we don't call it death. Some change we simply acknowledge as progress. For example, before I began my current job, I had to say goodbye to a workplace that I had invested in and grown with for years. It was an ending, a death of sorts, and so it was grieved, but it was easier for me to see the new that it was making room for. Sometimes the new is more hidden. Some change is so devastating it can only be thought of as death at the time. It may be a physical death of a loved one, a divorce, a betrayal, a job loss, an upheaval. These things don't feel like the ebb and flow of progress. They feel like the end of life. They feel like the dark brown dead leaves trampled underfoot. It feels like darkness when you wake and darkness when you head home. It feels like winter. A few years ago, my wife and I lost a child in the second trimester of pregnancy. And then it happened a second time a year later. We named those children. We marked their death, and we began to mourn, each in our own way. Those deaths signaled another unexpected death, the death of our old life. Sometimes we would try to go back to our old life, but it was just gone. It was like trying to come back to a house that you've moved out of. You walk up the steps to the landing, you reach for the doorknob, but it won't open to you. And even if somehow the door is unlocked, the house you walk into is no longer your own. So what do you do when your old life is dead? Well, simply, you start living a new life, and this happens whether you know it or not, whether you admit it or not. And that new life includes the excruciating event that you both went through. Maybe you stay at the same place that you lived. Maybe you stay at the same jobs you worked previously. Maybe you have the same friends and family, but you have changed, and so everything has changed. For me, it took a long time to admit that my old life was dead. Like the person that insists on wearing shorts in December, I was in denial that the seasons had changed. When I finally did admit that my old life was dead, I began to grieve it as well. White-hot, seething anger, unexpected crying at both the best and worst moments, needing loved ones around and withdrawing from them, and eventually identifying with and making peace with the deep sadness within me. Now, if someone were to tell me in those dark and cold days that everything was going to be all right, that spring was just around the corner, well, I might want to punch that person. Because the awful, the earth-shaking, the dream-stealing losses in our lives need to be mourned. And we do ourselves no favors being dishonest with ourselves, denying or suppressing the winter in our hearts. But hidden from my eyes, in my grief, in my anger, death was planting something new. It grew without my awareness, and certainly without my permission. And it grew hidden under snow. And then, suddenly, something new appears. Like the first crocus peeking through the snow, the first signs of life where you only expected and even accepted death. In the midst of my winter, a friend expressed to me that his hope for me was that I would come to see all of the events of my life, including our losses, with thankfulness. And I wanted to punch that person then, too. It seems cruel and disingenuous to ever consider something so horrific with thankfulness. But I now realize that I live with the paradox that without that death, the person that I am now simply would not exist. Death was planting within me a new way of experiencing heartbreak, and also a new way of identifying with those who are suffering, which, by the way, I think is all of us. Death showed me what it was like to grieve and grow towards another with whom you are both simultaneously unified and separate from. Death freed me to challenge the way I thought about the divine, to rage against and eventually forgive God, and then myself for the failings of my previous certainties. Simply put, death was planting a new way to think about everything, and for that, I am thankful. So that's it. That is Death is Planting. I hope that truth is as valuable to you as it has become to me. And I hope that as you experience the changes in your life that can only be called death, I hope you have the fearlessness to grieve and embrace your winter. And I hope in time you will come to see what death has been planting in you as well. Thanks for listening.